Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Hund Me by Louise Cypress, narrated by Alexander Sendes and Reba Burr. Chapter 1. Chase, 3 days after prom. The hospital monitors beeped a steady rhythm as the blood pressure cuff around my elbow squeezed my limp arm. My head lolled to the side of my pillow, but sleep refused to come, probably because my brain was terrified that as soon as I drifted off, I would revisit Promageddon in my nightmares. Me and the other innocent victims huddled in the corner of the Muirlands ballroom, helpless while Belisma unleashed her vampire horde, witnessing over 50 of my fellow classmates transform into bloodthirsty monsters who fed on their best friends. Now, in the fluorescent lights of the hospital room, I struggled to process what had happened. I would be dead right now, burnt to a crisp by the flames that consumed prom, or worse, undead, and roaming the streets of La Jolla for my next meal, if Esma hadn't rescued me. She'd confronted her mother and risked her own safety to protect me. Esma had saved my life, but she had also broken my heart. How could she have dated me for 2 years and never told me the truth about her condition? I was the biggest fool on the football team. Here I thought I had the perfect girl. Smart, beautiful, kind. Esma was all of those things and more. What I didn't know about her could have killed me. A gentle knock at the door roused me from my misery. Come in. I pushed myself up in the bed and winced when I accidentally pinched the IV tube.
Hi, Chase. I hoped you'd be awake.
Esma stood at my bedside holding an enormous bouquet of edible fruit.
I brought you a snack. All your favorites are here, watermelon, strawberries, cantaloupe.
She set it on the table by the window, and then sat down at the edge of my bed. Her blonde hair hung like silk, and she wore a simple white sundress that used to drive me wild. When Esma bent down to kiss me, I turned away.
Oh, sorry.
Esma jerked back and scooted farther down the bed.
You probably aren't feeling well. The doctor said it would take a while to recover from the smoke inhalation.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
Esma twisted a strand of hair around her finger.
And the gas leak that sparked the fire is causing some people to hallucinate, too.
Hallucinate? Or remember the truth? I yanked a skewer of honeydew out of the arrangement and pointed it at Esma. I know what happened in that ballroom.
A tragedy.
Esma put her hand on the bed and leaned forward.
Chase, I'm sorry that we got separated at prom. A lot of people have funny memories, but I wasn't exposed to the gas, and my mind is clear.
So is mine. I threw the skewer into the trash can several feet away. You're a vampire.
What?
Yes, and also a liar. You're lying to me right now, trying to make me question my own memory, and you lied to me for the entire 2 years we dated.
Chase!
Esma held up her hands.
Wait, calm down. Let's talk about this.
What's there to talk about? I pushed the button of my hospital bed so that I sat all the way upright. I don't date liars.
But I'm not.
Not what? A vampire or a liar? I tugged at the top of my hospital gown and exposed my neck. Bite me, Esma. That's what you want, isn't it, my blood?
No.
Esma sprang to her feet.
That's not what I want at all.
Tell me the truth. Are you, or are you not, a vampire? Esma's blue eyes clouded with unshed tears.
Yes, I am. But I don't eat humans, Chase. I've never tasted one drop of human blood.
I leaned back against my pillows, pushed a button, and waited while the automatic bed lowered me down again. When it was all the way flat, I stared up at the geometric ceiling. You can go home now. We're done.
No!
Esma threw herself on her knees.
Please don't do this. Don't break up with me because I'm a vampire. I promise I'll never hurt you.
I leaned up on my elbow and looked at her. A vampire I might have been able to deal with, but what I can't handle is dating a liar. You and I are over.
Chase!
Esma pleaded.
I was only trying to protect you.
I don't need your protection, I said clearly. I'm dumping you.
Chapter 2. Esma. August. The butcher counter at Whole Foods was a celebration of the finest morsels. Lamb chops whirled around in a circle with a bouquet of mint at their center. The pork loins were tied up with bows of string, and clusters of freshly ground hamburger bunched together like tiny balloons. I strode up through the crowd of shoppers at the counter to make my selection. Catching the butcher's attention was easy. I didn't have the voluptuous figure of my stepsister Morgan, but my long blonde hair, willowy figure, and blue eyes did the trick. I pulled my hair behind one ear and looked at the butcher intently. A few seconds later, I was first in line. "I'd like a half pound of filet mignon." I tapped my finger against the display case. "And please cut it into bite-sized pieces." The butcher, a 20-something guy with curly brown hair and a ruddy complexion, worked quickly.
"Weren't you in here yesterday ordering the grass-fed buffalo cut up into chunks? Are you making pot pies or something?"
I gave him a chilly smile. "There for my cat." He wrapped up my dinner in brown paper.
"That's one lucky cat."
He slapped the price tag on top.
"See you again tomorrow?"
I took a deep breath of the meaty air before walking away. "You bet." 20 minutes later, I was driving up Mount Soledad Road to the highest vantage point in all of La Jolla. Through the darkly tinted windows of my Corvette, I saw one mansion after another, some tucked behind private security gates and sheltered driveways, others built as close to the property line as the city code allowed. Dad and I had lived in the house at the top for the past 4 years. Before that, we moved around San Diego a lot. He and my mom had split up when I'd been 8 years old. The three of us had moved to California when I'd been a baby, and my parents had sought a new life away from war-torn Bosnia. My brother Darius was the only one of us born on American soil. Thinking about Mom and Darius crushed my heart. A few months ago, at my senior prom, they'd staged a massacre that had led to the deaths of over 50 of my fellow classmates. Now Mom was in Munich paying for her crimes, and Darius was in Bosnia at a rehabilitation center that was his last chance for growing up and living a normal life. Okay, it might be more accurate to say a normal-ish life. After all, we were a family of vampires. I pressed the remote control, and the enormous gate at the front of our house swung open. Queen Anne palm trees lined the driveway leading up to our three-story mansion. I pressed another button for the six-car garage. Susan's Dodge Durango was parked at the far side, but that didn't mean she was home. Dad had bought my new stepmother, Alexis, as a wedding present, but she refused to get rid of her old car. Susan told me she intended to sell it to her daughter, Morgan, someday when Morgan's Subaru died. I didn't bother arguing, even though I was sure Morgan's dad would give her a new car if she needed one. The rest of the garage was empty. I put on the parking brake, grabbed my purchases, and gently shut the door to my Corvette. But I didn't go into the house. Instead, I kept on my sunglasses and walked back outside. It was a short 5-minute walk to reach my destination. 3 houses away from us lived my new friend, Cassandra. Her family, the Zanders, were slayers, and Cassandra could trace her lineage back to Abraham Van Helsing himself. Usually, slayers and vampires were archenemies, but Dad, Morgan, and I were Puritans. We rejected human blood and relied on faith and wholesome living to keep us clean. Not drinking blood meant I didn't have the same power as my mom and brother did, but it also meant that I aged like my peers. I was an 18-year-old who looked like a teenager. Darius was a teenager who looked like he was in kindergarten. I lifted my fist to knock on the Xander's front door, but it swung open before I had the chance. Cassandra wore shorts, a t-shirt, and a big smile. Her thick brown hair was French braided in 2 inside-out braids. "Hungry?" she asked. "Starving." I stepped inside and went straight to the kitchen. The indoor grill was already on the counter. I plugged it in but didn't wait for the George Foreman to heat up before unwrapping the filet mignon and dumping the meat directly on the grill. Technically, I didn't need to cook my meat, but I did enjoy it browned. "I still can't believe your dad married a vegan." Cassandra opened the refrigerator and pulled out a pitcher of green juice. "I don't mind that Susan's vegan, but it's hard not being able to bring meat into the house." "Yeah, especially since that's the main thing you eat." Cassandra poured 2 glasses of juice and passed one over. I sniffed it before drinking.
kale, lemon, and green apple? Yep, and one more thing. I took another whiff. A sprig of parsley, flat-leafed. Cassandra grinned. You're amazing. I can smell stuff. Big whoop. I know, it's just... Cassandra looked down into her glass. After all these years of studying vampires from afar, I finally get to be friends with one and see what your abilities are up close. I mean, we are friends, right? Of course we are. Cassandra was 15 and a half, 3 years younger than me and homeschooled. Her family moved every 6 months on assignment from Helsing Incorporated. The Xander family's primary focus was slaying vampires. 5 months ago, they'd moved to La Jolla to slay my dad and me if we didn't pass the purity test to prove that we were Puritans. I know that technically Puritans could live on foods that were both paleo and vegan, Cassandra said. But that sounds awful. Does Susan really expect your dad to survive on spinach and nuts? I wrinkled my nose. Susan must know that Dad eats meat outside of the house. Honestly, I don't ask a lot of questions. In 4 weeks, I'll be away at college and out of Susan's way. I'm still shocked that they eloped. Cassandra sipped her green juice. Me too. But I'm glad my dad was able to divorce my mom so quickly. For 10 years, my dad had held on to hope that my mom would give up her blood addiction. It took Promageddon and Helsing Incorporated Slayer Council to make Dad finally realize that the woman he had fallen in love with was gone. Vampiritis had infected her body and soul. We were in Bosnia when their divorce was finalized. You should have seen how fast Susan whipped prenup papers out of her suitcase. Morgan was her bridesmaid, I stood up for Dad, and a sister of purity married them right there on the spot at the mother house. Was Darius there too? I nodded. On the premises, at least. He has to be kept in a silver-lined room for now. Since he can transform into a bat, it would be easy for him to escape without that safeguard. The delicious aroma of meat filled the kitchen. I rushed over to the George Foreman and unplugged it. My mouth watered when I lifted up the top part of the grill and saw that the filet mignon was the perfect shade of blush pink. I slid the meat onto a plate and reached for a fork. Then I snatched my hand back when I saw shiny metal. What happened to the bamboo fork I brought over? It's not there? Check the dish rack. But I promise we only have stainless steel forks, not silver. I'm 99% sure I can trust you. But that last 1% is afraid to be burned. I picked up my bamboo cutlery from where it sat next to the sink and took a seat on a bar stool next to Cassandra.
Do I smell meat?
Asked a cheerful voice coming down the hall. The door swung open and Al appeared, still wearing his pajamas. Dad, Cassandra said in a mortified tone. It's 2 p.m, why aren't you dressed yet? His rumpled clothing wasn't the only part of Al that was disheveled. It looked like he hadn't shaved since his wife and son had left for Germany earlier this summer. Natalie and Van were in Munich helping Helsing Incorporated deal with my mother.
Sorry, sweetie.
Al opened up the refrigerator and pulled out a Diet Coke.
The nice thing about working from home is that I don't need to wear a suit.
You're lucky you're on the radio and not television, Cassandra told him.
Don't I know it?
Al twisted off the cap of his soda and looked at me.
Did you hear Chase on air today? He's got a fabulous rapport with callers.
My heart lurched at the mention of my ex-boyfriend's name. Chase was the sweetest, kindest, strongest person I knew, and I had lied to him the whole 2 years we dated. Not a day went by when I didn't miss his solid arms around me or remember the feel of his lips pressed against mine. I shifted positions on the bar stool. No, I didn't happen to listen. The truth was that I hadn't heard any of Chase's appearances on Fredhead. At the end of school, right before graduation, Chase had broken up with me. He said he couldn't date a girl who kept secrets. I tried to defend myself and say the only reason I hadn't told him about me being a vampire was that I wanted to protect him. But Chase wouldn't listen. You'd think 2 years of me being at his side every day would mean something, but no. Chase didn't see it that way. He walked away from me and crushed my heart.
I'm glad that my producer talked me into hiring an intern this summer,
Al continued.
Chase is a natural.
Cassandra nodded in agreement. Having an eyewitness to Promageddon was just what Fred had needed.
You mean the La Jolla Cove High School prom tragedy?
Al made air quotes with his hands.
That's what your Uncle Jared and the pencil pushers at Helsing Incorporated want the media to call it.
But it's not catchy at all, Cassandra complained. Uncle Jared needs to hire a PR person because he has no knack for wordsmithing whatsoever. From 6 to 8 every morning, Al was known as Alfie, the host of the popular satellite radio show HeartGuard, and shared stories of embracing goodness and rejecting sin. But then, an hour later, he was the bombastic, ill-humored host for the raunchy show Fredhead, known for exploring all the stories that the real news wouldn't cover. Werewolves, unicorns, three-headed babies, and yes, vampires. Al openly mocked each person who called in to report a sighting, but that didn't stop his loyal listeners from participating. His audience was composed of 30% true believers and 70% critical thinkers who enjoyed a good laugh. Al scratched his beard.
I'll ask Chase what he can come up with regarding a better name for Promageddon. He has a knack for problem solving.
I better go. I stood up quickly, and my bar stool scraped against the floor. Then I remembered I needed to deal with my dishes. At my house, our housekeeper did that. But at the Xander house, people cleaned up after themselves. I collected my plate and fork and deposited them in the dishwasher. Then I squirted blue goo on the grill and washed gristle into the sink. You don't have to rush off. Cassandra picked up a towel to dry off the grill. It's a beautiful day in August. Let's go hot tubbing. I'd love that. I turned off the faucet. Hanging out with Cassandra would be a great way to avoid Dad and Susan. Ever since they'd gotten back from their honeymoon 2 weeks ago, things had been weird. The paint on the welcome home sign I had made them had barely dried before I started getting the impression that I was unwelcome in my own home. Susan wanted to be Dad's wife, not my stepmom. Things were better on Mondays through Thursdays when Morgan was there. She and Susan had made up after their nasty fight in spring. But Morgan spent the other days of the week at her dad's condo by the beach.
Sorry, Cass, Al said. But you've got Taekwondo in an hour.
You're not taking me to the dojo in your pajamas. Al held up his hands like he was caught.
Okay, I'll go change into something presentable.
He nodded at me before leaving the room. Tomorrow we'll go swimming at your house? Cassandra asked hopefully. Definitely. Oh, I almost forgot. What? I had a fun idea, and before you say no, promise you'll think about it because my dad already said yes. He couldn't say no to my PowerPoint presentation. What? We should go on a 2-week camping trip. Huh? Cassandra's whole face lit up with enthusiasm. You, me, and Morgan. Dad said it was okay so long as I wear my silver nano mesh for protection. I'm not going to eat you. I hung up the dish towel. And I'm not camping either. Sorry, Cassandra, but I'm not made for sleeping on the ground. You could use an air mattress. But I've never been camping. What if there were bears? There won't be bears. And if there was one, you could eat it. I don't kill my meat. I buy it wrapped in styrofoam and plastic, I said coolly. Morgan's hunted an animal before. What? Cassandra sat back down on a bar stool and looked pleased when I joined her. She knew she had my attention. Morgan killed a raccoon in the middle of the night, before she knew about her vampiritis. I wrinkled my nose. That's disgusting. Cassandra shrugged. I'm not saying we'll encounter wild animals on our camping trip, but if we do, I'm sure Morgan could take them. In spite of myself, I giggled. Maybe she'd attack the beast with a paperback romance novel. Cassandra laughed. Or bore it to death with an in-depth comparison of every Jane Austen movie. If I have to watch Pride and Prejudice one more time, I began to say, but then I stopped myself. It felt wrong to make fun of Morgan when she wasn't here. It'll be good for Morgan to go camping too, said Cassandra. If she wants to have a long-distance relationship with my brother, that's her business. But there's no point spending the whole summer moping around while Van's stuck in Munich.
Yeah, but I can't picture Morgan sleeping on the ground either. When did you two become such princesses? Communing with nature would do you both good. Cassandra held up four fingers. 1 week to plan the trip, 2 weeks of camping, and then 1 week back home to pack for college. The timing's perfect. Maybe. I stood up to leave. But I'm not sure camping is my thing. I collected my purse. Thanks for the kitchen privileges. Don't say no until you see my PowerPoint presentation. I rolled my eyes. I thought I was organized, but Cassandra took things to a new level. Text me later, Cassandra called after me as I walked out the front door. A half hour later, I was at home, sitting on the white leather couch in our living room, indulging in my secret shame, watching reruns of America's Next Top Model. The house was still as a tomb. Dad was at work. He managed his own property improvement company. And Susan had sent sisters Margaret and Angelica back to Bosnia. She said that without Darius living here at home, there wasn't a need for full-time Sisters of Purity to live with us. Dad hired a house cleaning service to come 3 times a week instead. I clicked the remote and adjusted the volume on the television. Tyra Banks was about to give a clueless runway hopeful a verbal smackdown. But then I heard the garage door open. I lowered the volume to the bare minimum and felt my body tense as the clipped staccato of Susan's pumps echoed across the marble floor. Oh, she said with palpable disappointment. You're here. Susan's brown hair was curled into a hard knot at the back of her neck. Her crepe wool suit was wrinkled, but the silk scarf she wore was a pretty shade of lilac. How is the courthouse? I sat up straight. Did you make your closing arguments today? Susan's eyes roamed from me to the television, to Tyra Banks, and then back again. Yes, and I'm exhausted. She stepped out of her pumps. All I want to do is come home and relax. After the day I had, I deserve some peace and quiet. Of course. The remote control weighed heavily in my hand. Did Susan mean I was being too noisy? Our house was over 10,000 square feet. There were lots of places to seek out peace and quiet. The master suite, for example, which boasted not one, but 2 large-screen televisions, a jacuzzi, a sauna, and a workout room. I wasn't sure what she wanted me to say. Susan stared at me. What about you? Did you work today? Did you finally get a summer job? I volunteered at the homeless shelter this morning. I helped out in the children's activities room. Susan sniffed. That's not the same thing as earning a paycheck. But there are only 4 weeks left of summer. We were in Europe for June and July. Who'd hire me for only a month? Your father would. Susan took off her scarf and laid it on top of the grand piano. Without the softness of the silk accent, her outfit became severe. I'm sure Lucas could put you to work with one of his house-flipping crews, scrubbing floors or weeding flower beds. I had no interest in learning to flip houses, and Dad respected that. But since there wasn't any use arguing with Susan, I offered her the remote. Would you like to watch something else? She took the remote and clicked the television off. No thanks. As I said before, I want some peace and quiet. Susan paused for dramatic effect. And solitude. A huge lump formed in my throat. I couldn't believe Susan was making me feel unwelcome in my own home. I managed a quick nod, fled the living room, and raced up the stairs to my bedroom. As soon as I shut the door behind me, unwanted tears sprang to my eyes. What had I done to make Susan hate me? Before, when she and my dad had been dating, Susan had liked me. At least, I thought she'd liked me. She'd always said positive things about me, especially when Morgan had been around. I pulled out a wad of tissues and blotted my eyes. Dad hadn't intended to move in with Susan until after Darius and I were out of the house. Their spontaneous elopement had changed that plan. Why couldn't they have waited until September? Morgan had tried to warn me about her mother's domineering ways, but I hadn't listened. If anything, I had encouraged my dad's relationship with Susan, because I thought she could make him happy. But now I realized that the entire time Dad and Susan had dated, I'd only seen one side of Susan's personality. I gazed out the floor-to-ceiling windows that lined one wall of my room and watched the sun set across La Jolla. If I could go back in time, I wouldn't have come home to wait out summer. I would have stayed at the Sisters of Purity Mother House in Bosnia. My phone buzzed in the back pocket of my skinny jeans, interrupting my pity party. For one brief moment, I thought it might be Chase. He'd always had a knack for calling me when I felt down. When I saw that the caller was Morgan, I felt a twinge of disappointment that I immediately felt bad about. "Hey," I said. "Your mom just came home, and now I'm hiding in my room. Sorry, and welcome to my childhood." I pressed my forehead against the window pane and closed my eyes. "I don't know how I'm going to survive 4 more weeks of this awkwardness. Are you sure you don't want to live here full time?"
"No, thank you," Morgan said with a definitive tone. "But you could stay with me at my dad's condo if you want. Daisy wouldn't mind."
"Lucky for you, Daisy's the coolest stepmom ever."
"Truth."
I opened my eyes and looked out at the view again. "Thanks for the offer, but my dad wouldn't understand it if I moved out. I don't want to hurt his feelings."
"Lucas better get used to hurt feelings. Now that he's married to my mom, the only feelings that matter are hers."
"My dad loves Susan. He likes her strong personality."
"All that proves is that your dad's a weirdo."
"Maybe," I chuckled. "Sister Margaret thought it was because Susan reminds my dad of his mother."
"I always thought Lucas had mommy issues."
I laughed. "Cassandra thinks that the solution to my problem is to go on a 2-week camping trip."
"Camping?"
"And she wants you and her to come with me."
"That sounds fun."
"Are you nuts? We'd have to sleep on the ground."
"We could bring a cot or something," said Morgan.
"But..."
"My dad has a podiatrist convention in Vegas next week and wants Daisy to go with him. But she was going to stay home with me instead. If I were on a camping trip with you, Daisy could go enjoy herself. And the three of us could end our trip with a visit to my friend Gwen in Oregon. Apparently, the Brothers of Temperance have been able to get her vampiritis under control, and Gwen should be ready for visitors in a couple of weeks. She's staying at their commune of New Life and Reformation."
"I don't know, Morgan.
You said you wanted to escape from my mother without hurting your dad's feelings."
"Yeah, but..."
"I used to go camping all the time when I was a Girl Scout. It's super fun. I'm willing to go on an adventure if you are."
"Thanks. I guess I'll think about it." I watched through the window as Dad's Mercedes pulled up the drive, and I said goodbye to Morgan. Maybe now that Dad was home, I could use the downstairs again. I wanted to relax and practice the new coding language I was learning, but I'd left my computer downstairs. If I was going to hold my own with the other brainiacs at Harvey Mudd this fall, then I needed to keep my skills sharp. I entered the living room with a spring in my step, my fingers twitching to type, but then I froze. Right there in front of me, Dad and Susan were making out on the leather couch. Susan's foot was sticking up in the air, and Dad had red lipstick smeared across his face.
"Oh!"
he exclaimed as his keen vampire hearing sensed my presence. Dad let go of his hold on Susan and threw his arm on the back of the couch like he was trying to be casual.
"Hi, Isma. I didn't realize you were home."
Susan glared at me with open hostility.
Yeah, I am home," I said meekly. "But not for long. That's what I came down to tell you. Morgan, Cassandra, and I are going on a camping trip."
"Morgan?"
Susan sneered at the mention of her daughter's name.
"She couldn't find her way out of the front door, let alone a tent."
"Morgan will do fine," I said in a high-pitched voice. "She was in Girl Scouts, and Cassandra will help teach me outdoor skills."
"That's wonderful, darling,"
Dad said with a smile.
"It's a marvelous plan."
I smiled weakly before turning on the ball of my foot and racing back upstairs. The only way to survive the rest of summer was to get out of this house. If it took a camping trip to avoid Susan and give my dad a chance for happiness, then bring on the hiking boots.
Chapter 3. Chase. When I pictured the glamorous life of a radio DJ being wedged into a walk-in closet while operating minimal equipment by the light of a dim fluorescent bulb wasn't what I had in mind.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?